here we are, everybody, celebrating our 100th episode.
Let me just take a moment of silence for this this moment in history.
For the people who've listened to 100 of these.
Yeah,
surely there's not a single person who's listened to every
That's
episode.
Exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah.
And like, if so, even our most... Even
we
our
have
most...
a gift for you. It's...
Yeah. 100 more.
I feel like, you know, I feel like, so this will be either some people's favorite episode or their worst episode, because I feel like we need to get to know who's in the room.
Yeah. They haven't thus far got to know us.
They've been listening to you for 100 episodes, and I still think people wonder things, and they're polite, so they're not going to ask questions. Why are you looking at me like that, Nico? And so I thought maybe we
Nico
could,
doesn't want to be known.
Maybe we would
I like being the unnamed podcast member.
Someone did come up to me on Sunday and was Who's like, the other who voice? Was that other voice? Can you point him out?
That little sultry...
The faceless voice.
So check out the sound booth on a Sunday if you want to know who this voice is.
But I thought I would start... I thought I would start by asking what is... if you're looking back at 100 episodes, and some of you weren't here at episode number one, what is your favorite part, favorite moment in one of our episodes? Maybe not even the favorite episode, but like just a moment that sticks out in your brain that you're like, this part was great. It might be a moment where Kevin opened your eyes to some new theology. That you just have never considered.
Or singing.
Yeah, or... Yeah.
There's a lot and hurts of singing your ears. In these episodes.
There is a lot of singing in the episodes.
It's amazing.
I can... I don't know if it's a moment. It is a little bit more of an episode. But it's episode 74. And Brandon and I were in Portland.
Oh!
And we tried recording. It was a Sunday night. And the only time that week we were going to be able to record was that night. And so Brandon and I had led the service in the morning, traveled all the way to Portland that night, gone to dinner, like the whole bit. And we got back to our room at like 10 o'clock and we tried to record the podcast. And it is the most like I went back and listened, and it is the most like incoherent. Like we're just trying so hard to hold it together because we were so stinking tired.
We're recording the latest we have ever recorded.
And not only that, the furthest north. We that's have ever right. recorded.
Not Vancouver. I know that's what you're thinking. Not Seattle.
But getting closer. Getting yes. kind of warmer.
But the great city of Portland.
And so we, in there, you also, you bridge. It was we were talking about the sermon where I was talking about the Barbie movie.
Oh, yeah.
And your segue into that was just so stinking gold, man.
Either that one or the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Black bandana, sweet Louisiana. Dana, California.
Oh, that's man.
So good. Yeah, Red Hot Chili Peppers were clutch.
So the Barbie movie, huh? You saw that thing. You saw it two times.
That segue was perfect.
Oh my gosh. Sometimes you just gotta rip off the band-aid.
It just went straight for the jugular. And it was just mocking me for watching the Barbie movie. But anyway. So that episode, which there's a whole nother story that happened after we recorded that episode.
Yeah, I don't know if we ever talked
about it. I don't think
that,
we ever did.
But that night is very special.
Is legendary.
Oh?
This is legendary.
Yeah. As most nights, most nights in Portland are.
Yeah.
So we'll just can we just give them the Reader's Digest?
Yeah. So Brandon and I are at this conference in Portland.
Kevin wanted to get separate rooms.
I wanted to get separate rooms because I like my privacy, but I offended Brandon to yeah. his core.
It had nothing to do with cost. I just wanted to share a room
he
with
just
Kevin.
Just wanted a room with me. So in my weaker and worse judgment, I said yes to sharing a room with Brandon. So we record the podcast. We literally start recording at like 10 p.m. and it's probably 11 o'clock, 11:30 by the time we're done.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, Brandon is like searching for his CPAP machine.
Yeah. I am ruthlessly dependent on my CPAP machine to force air through my system so that I can breathe in the night. If I do not do that, but I was thinking through what happens if I don't have my CPAP. First of all, I'm not gonna get any of the conference the next day because I'll be so tired. But then Kevin's gonna hate me. I forced him to room with me.
Forced you to room with.
And now when I don't have, it's gonna sound like I'm choking all night. And I didn't have the power cord.
So it's 11:30 and we're in Portland and he's frantically searching Facebook Marketplace. Craigslist and Facebook Marketplace.
People,
to try to find this power cord. And then at 11:30 at night, this guy responds like instantly to his post about a CPAP.
$150 he was selling the entire machine.
And he happened to be like 2 miles from our hotel. Like,
wow.
So I tell Kevin, I just need to leave. You can go to sleep. I need to leave and go take care of something. He's like, what, dude? Are you going to get drugs? Like, it's like, actually, so I explained the CPAP thing. And he's like, well, I'm not going to let you go into downtown Portland by yourself.
This is how you die, man. Yeah. I can't just send you to your death alone. Like, we're going down together, chasing down the CPAP.
This is the intro to a horror movie, and Brian is the white person with no survival instinct.
I don't remember his
name. Was like, it added to the whole bit.
I just remember his aura.
Oh, yeah, he came out, like, we pull up at his house, and, like, now it's about midnight.
Yeah.
And he just, like, you just hand him the money without checking to see if the power cord is...
The bag, honestly, it looked
it was
like
disgusting.
It looked like a cat had vomited inside the CPAP bag. It was so gross. And he was selling it to me like I was going to breathe through this thing.
So he's charging $150 for it, and all you have is two $100 bills.
Yeah.
And so you hand the guy at midnight in the middle of Portland $200 and you tell him like, hey, all I got is $200. And he was like, yeah, that's not a problem. And he just took
the whole $200 and walked away.
That's not a problem.
And then we open him. So the guy's
ew.
The guy's in the house now.
$200 used CPAP.
With cat vomit.
With
$50 surcharge.
And so I open up the box or the bag.
Yeah.
And it's missing a piece of the power cable, the only thing I need. And I'm like, oh God. And Kevin's like, well, should we go talk to him? I was like, no.
He's like, I think it'll work. I was like, you're going to take a $200 chance on I think it'll work?
I had something. Oh, I had my interface so we could record.
Yeah, you had that piece of the power cord.
That power cable will fit in this adapter. And he's like, bro.
That's a $200, I think.
He's like, what if it doesn't? This is quite a risk-reward situation. And we did it, and it worked, and I slept.
And we all
and
survived.
Life was good. And now we have this story.
But
did
that
you ever
night,
use his...
I did not. I threw his CPAP away,
which was a good call.
It was so disgusting. I just used the power cable.
If it wasn't picking it up, that would have killed you. Using that CPAP
would
have killed you.
It would have given me instant emphysema.
Oh gosh, yeah.
So Brandon,
all that
causing
death, cat vomit in the lungs.
Brandon really wanted to get to know me by sharing a room, and I feel like I really got to know Brandon that night. Oh man.
Oh gosh. Okay, that's good. Well,
something.
I think that I think before you guys answer, I want to bring a special guest on the podcast because he's an invested listener and he has lots of information for us and he has something to say, so I wanted to give one of our buddies a call.
Hello.
Is this Gary?
Yes, it is. Can you hear me okay?
Gary Aiden?
Yes.
Gary, you're like one of our number one fans on our podcast. Did you know that?
I don't know that, but I've listened to every podcast.
Oh!
Wait, we were just debating whether or not anyone has actually listened to every one of them.
Oh, no, I've listened to every one. In fact, I feel sad for when you miss one, right?
Really? This is breaking all of our hearts. This is really, really good. Gary, I wanted to give everyone an opportunity to possibly, if there's any question that we're wondering about, when we do the Ask Nico segment, and he doesn't know, we figure you always do know. So like when we were talking about the...
I don't know, between you guys seem to have so much knowledge it's amazing. I was completely blown away that you can know and describe plate tectonics.
Well, we were kind of lost on the highway system. Did you understand that when we were talking about it? Did you know the answer?
Yes. Now, the highway system, I know a lot about. It's, you know, very esoteric. But, yeah, that one I know. However, the last episode that Rachel did, I did not know those words.
Yes.
Really? Oh, you know what? That's the one you guys recorded without me.
Yeah.
I didn't even hear that episode.
Oh,
Gary,
you've
listened to more than me. So, Gary, do you have, is there a moment or an episode that sticks out to you that that lives in your brain forever?
Well, do you want me to answer because it's unique or because it was a theological?
What about a unique one and a theological one?
All right, so I'll give the unique ones that I just never guessed, that I know you have a very unique view of the world, where you did guess the food, or you had a session on your veneers. I just would never have thought of that.
Do you feel like that made your life better or worse?
It just was unusual. I'll leave it there. But in terms of shining a light in amazing places, I really like the big idea that you can't try to fit the Bible into the world. The Bible is bigger than the world. If your worldview doesn't include the Bible, you've got a serious problem, right? That's mm-hmm. that's one. That I really like that you should believe in the Bible because Jesus did. I'd never really heard that, but then when you read that, that's amazing. And then I just assumed everybody grew up having trust in the Bible. And when it was said that the younger generations are pretty skeptical, I really thought about that. And it's true. The Bible was in everything when we grew up. It was on a TV show. It might be on cereal boxes, a lot of places. And now it's not that way.
And just so you guys know, Gary is in like the mountains, and he drove down to a place where he has service so that yes. this would be a reliable call. Aww. So, Gary, thank you for being you, man.
Thank you, Gary.
Thank you, Gary.
Thank you, Gary.
Technically, I drove up so I could hit a cell tower 30 miles away.
Nice. So,
thank you all.
All right,
thanks,
Gary. We're going to have
I appreciate so much all that you do.
We're going to have you come in for just an Ask Gary segment of the podcast,
yeah.
okay?
Love that.
All right, Gary. Talk to you later.
Yes, bye.
Bye. All right.
Gary,
that's fantastic.
Guy.
Wow, that every episode.
That's encouraging.
That's amazing.
That is wild. Every single one.
That makes me want to think about what we say a little bit more.
Makes you want to be more thoughtful.
Oh, man.
Yeah. All right, Nico. That's so what is your favorite moment?
For both of the possible reasons, I really liked episode 96, I think, is Tohu Vavohu.
Oh. Vavohu.
Call me vain, but the Ask Nico segment was fantastic. And I also loved learning how much you know about plate tectonics.
That was the tectonic episode.
And that's also where we had a really good discussion about chaos and how that kind of interacts yeah. with the biblical story in our world.
Like, because I'm trying to remember from geology, like, there's a couple different ways. One, like, magma actually escapes the plates and floats up and forms mm-hmm. islands. But then there's also where, like, in a subduction zone, when, like, this plate scrapes.
Yep.
And
one
so
plate rises.
In, like,
over the
mountaintops
other.
In Taiwan, there's, like, super, super old, like, fossils from, like, the ocean floor, from tectonic
then, yeah.
plates
floor. Then that would indicate this, what you said, the subduction, I think it was.
Subduction zone.
One plate will slide
under
the
subduction
other
zone.
And just push up. And they'll yeah. stay like that because yeah. there's nowhere else to go.
Chaos is a good word for everything in the podcast that we do.
Yeah.
Quite fitting.
Maybe we should rename the podcast Tohu Vavohu.
CPC Tohu Vavohu.
CPC Tahafafuhu.
You can make it work.
Yeah.
That's cool. That was a good one. Ask Nico was a sneaky Rachel, good. But... It was a sneaky good section, though.
Nico, you are a deep soul. You're like an old man.
This is our words of affirmation section.
You're like an old man in a young man's body. A very well-dressed old young man.
And in a young man's mustache, although that's no longer here. But.
I wonder what it was like. I wonder if Nico, when he was like young.
Did your kids ever watch the show Boss
young
Baby?
Nico.
Boss Baby.
Did you ever watch that?
No. I feel like I saw. Is it that? Does it have the kid with sunglasses? Yeah,
no, he's like, he works for Baby Corp. And he's like a CEO.
Oh,
of the
yes.
Alex, Nico was Alex Boss Baldwin? Baby.
That
for
was
sure.
Nico.
Nico was Boss Baby.
You were Boss Baby.
Did you guys ever watch that?
No.
Okay, yeah, my girls watched it when they were, well, Adley.
What do you think it was like to raise Nico?
Good question.
Let's find out, shall we?
Hey. Fantastic. Perfect.
Hello?
Hello, is this Susie?
Yes, it is.
Susie, this is Brandon and the CPC Together podcast.
Hey, Susie.
Hi, Brandon.
So you're in the room with me, Kevin, Rachel, and someone you know very well, little Nico.
Little Nico.
Oh, my goodness.
And he looks very uncomfortable that I've called you right now.
Good afternoon,
oh,
Mama.
Yeah?
He's squirming a little bit.
I don't know what he's in for, I guess. Oh, maybe he does.
Susie, I'm wondering, we were just sitting around thinking about Nico and how he's kind of this old soul. He's kind of like an old man in a young man's body. And we were wondering, what was it like raising Nico?
Wow. Well, that's interesting that you describe him that way.
You wouldn't describe him that way.
Well, no, he did kind of become that. He did. But first you have to understand he's our firstborn, right?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that adds up.
And
it definitely tracks.
It was challenging at times because of that. I have to say the poor guy had to, contend with parents, first-time parents, probably his siblings had a little bit more of a freedom in that case. I'm sure he would agree with me.
Nico is nodding his head
vigorously.
Vigorous head nodding to that one.
But you know, he was such a fun, joyful baby. I mean, he was, that smile that he has, that was him. Except when he cried once in a while.
when eating papaya.
He was such a just a happy, happy baby. It, you know, we looked at pictures that we have and just remembering things, and he was just happy all the time. And he was very curious, so that definitely got him into trouble. I guess he ended up doing the things that he liked to do when he was a baby, touch buttons.
Yep. That's what he does now, yeah.
Yeah, he would touch, you know, the sound system at home, you know, the remote control. I mean, any button that was close and available for him, he would touch. And, he would get into pots and pull out dirt.
Always just trying to figure stuff out, huh?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
He's still
a
doing that.
A very hands-on way of learning for him.
Curious soul.
And so it was fun, and it was challenging, and
Susie, I have a question for you. Did you at any point ever drop Nico on his head?
Did I drop him on his head? No, I did not.
Okay.
He would do that himself. when he was just learning how to sit and balance, you know, he would feel himself falling, and he would just throw himself down. It was the weirdest thing. I'm like, dude, you know, just roll on your side, catch yourself, something. No, he was just go for it.
That explains so much.
Yeah.
Well, Susie, that is awesome. Thank you for your contribution. And thank you for being on our podcast. And thank you for giving us Nico. We love him.
We're big fans.
Yeah, you know, I do have to say this. The way he is, and the young man that he became, it's definitely by God's grace. I mean, at one point it's like, you know, Lord, we've done our part, but we fail in a lot of things, we think, because of him being the firstborn. I think there are a lot of things that we could have done better. I'm sure every parent thinks the same thing, but the fact that he's walking with the Lord and he's, you know, serving and just, I mean, we couldn't be happier.
Beautiful. Susie, thank you so much for phoning all the way from Austin.
Thank you, guys. Thank you for Nico,
is there anything you want to tell your mom?
Love you, mama.
I love you, too.
Aww.
Miss you.
All right, Susie, thank you. We'll talk to you later.
Thanks, Susie.
Thank you, guys.
All right, bye.
Take care. Bye.
Aw, didn't that just warm your heart?
Yeah, that was the right answer, by the way. Anything you want to say to mom. It's always, I love you, mom. Yeah, that was right. I'm glad you pulled through.
Beautiful.
Aw.
Good. Like, all right, Rach, I want to hear, what's your favorite?
Just for the record, are you nervous at who Brandon has queued up to call for you?
I'm sneaking suspicion. I think my favorite episode, it was hard to pick. I listened through quite a few this morning.
To all 100 this morning.
And there is more.
It was a really early morning.
There is more singing in it than I thought, which I appreciate, especially when you, Kevin, and Brandon sing together spontaneously, and you think of a TV show that just like comes to mind and you start singing it.
Yeah, we're always thinking like old songs and old shows.
Old 90s jams or...
Doug.
The theme song of Doug. References.
And that episode where you mentioned Doug, I think, was my favorite when we had to pick a song for each person.
Oh, yeah.
And I appreciated the song that Nico picked for you.
Yeah. Can you refresh the listener in case they forgot?
I'm not going to say it. But...
Nico, what was it? It still stands. Brandon's theme song is Sexy After Dark by Ray Walker Jr.
He built it up so much that I thought it was going to be something offensive. Yeah. And then
it was...
Well, if you listen to it, it is a little bit.
Oh, I didn't listen to it.
Should we listen to it live on the air?
No.
Is it because
let's get Nico's mom back on the horn here. Let's talk about his musical tastes.
But it was a solid like 15-minute introduction.
Oh gosh,
with songs.
That was a good one. Yeah, I was so startled. I too didn't know exactly what song Nico was going to pick for Brandon, but I can assure you that was not
none of us,
at all in the
none
realm
of, us
of what I was considering. And so I didn't know what to, it very much startled me. I didn't know what to do with that.
I'll still go Bare Necessities for you, though, Kevin.
I think that works well.
I also always get the artist's name wrong. It's Joshua Ray Walker.
Yeah.
For Curious Minds.
For Curious Minds.
I thought maybe it was George Michael or something.
No.
Kevin got Baroque.
What'd I get?
Baroque Renaissance music with a harpsichord.
A harpsichord.
Yeah.
I don't remember that at all.
Or is it harpsichord?
Who was that mine?
No, you picked
Doug.
The cartoon Doug.
For you?
Yeah, you said I had a really strong Doug energy.
Doug vibe? Yeah.
Doug energy was the particular.
Hey, that's better than Skeeter energy.
That's true. Of all the Skeeters. Or Patty Mayonnaise.
Who sounds like an old lady, apparently. Yes.
Oh, gosh.
Kevin, isn't Rachel like an unexpected add to this podcast? Like,
she brings a nice, quick wit and a good balancing, calming presence to the chaos, to the tohu vavohu.
And her laugh, when she starts laughing, she does this little... this little she either does that or she does the little high squeaky.
I'm a scream laugher.
A scream laugher.
It is possible to get a decent signal from Rachel's microphone unless she's laughing, in which case it peaks every single time.
After 100 episodes, at this point, It's not ignorance.
It's spite.
It's rebellion. Spite. Yeah. It's not. Yeah. I promise it's not.
The listener doesn't realize the amount of times that we quietly, secretly tell her to move her microphone closer to her mouth. It is never in the right position.
But when
position.
We record without Rachel, we feel it.
They fall flat. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's like a, there's a glue there that's hard to quantify.
It's an unquantifiable glue. That's a good way to put it, Brandon.
But just like Nico, nickname. I do also wonder about little Rachel.
Oh yeah.
Because, you know, Rachel, like, we have a vision of what Rachel is like now. But I wonder what she was like when she was growing up.
That's a great question,
Don't
Brandon.
You guys want to know?
I want to know.
I want to know. Let's find out, shall we?
This is the trauma I feel when I put emergency contacts on forms. I don't know if I'll have one.
Sorry, I missed your call. Leave me a message.
Wow. Okay, let's leave it. Hi, Susie. This is the CPC podcast. We're calling because we're super curious about what little Rachel, little Chili Beef, was like.
Little Chili Beef.
When she was growing up.
I was just a little beef at that little, point.
She was little beef. Chili. You're in the room right now with me, Kevin, Nico, and little Chili Beef. And so we just wanted to hear a little bit about your perspective on her and what she was like. And so, yeah, if you get a chance in the next few minutes, go ahead and give us a call back. All right. Bye.
Bye. By the way, I'm just putting together.
I'm not sure if you got off easy or if that was like the
she'll
worst
probably call
possible
back.
Outcome.
Yeah, she'll call back. I'm just putting together. They're both Susies.
Yeah, yeah, the two Susies.
Yeah, the two Susies.
Susie squared.
That's not our. It's not our moms. My mom's not Susie.
Moment. Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. Oh. Yeah. Hello.
Hi, Brandon. I'm sorry. Did you call?
I did. I called.
Okay. I you know what? The gardener had come, so I didn't hear anything.
Man, I hate it. They do that during our podcast too. They start doing that gas blower thing.
Yes.
Can't hear anything.
And so, yeah, I'm so sorry.
But you know what? I heard that California is outlawing those soon.
So gardeners?
California is what?
Not gardeners. They're going to outlaw the gas blowers, I think.
Oh.
So we will never have this issue again. Anyway, I should tell you that you're live right now on our podcast, and you're in the room with Kevin and Nico and little Chili Beef.
Oh, okay.
And we
Hi,
were just
guys.
Hi, Susie.
Hi, Mom.
Susie.
So we were just talking about how sweet and kind and wonderful Rachel is, and how she adds this special element to our podcast. And we were just wondering, was she always like that? What was she like when she was like a little kid? What was it like to raise little Chili Beef? And we thought maybe if anyone knows, you probably do.
Oh, thank you. Well, if I have to sum it up in, you know, I always think of summing it up in one word or maybe two words, I would say pure joy.
Oh, that's good.
So I would say pure joy. So if you want me to go into details.
Yeah, we
want
to hear.
Yes, we certainly want details.
And then you can tell me when to stop because, you know, sometimes when it's your own child, you're talking about your own child, it's difficult to stop. So I won't consider it rude if you ask me to stop.
Okay, all right.
So I would say that, pure joy. And Rachel is the youngest. And though we were very overprotective of her, she has developed her own unique strengths and talents. Right from the start, she was what I would call an easy baby. I used to teach child development. So, you know, it's easy, difficult, whatever, you know. But she was an easy baby and has always been that way. The thing is, you have to know that Rachel and Jeannie can do no wrong in their mama and daddy's eyes.
She's got a look on her face right now. I'm wondering if you could, if you can imagine what look she has currently while you're talking about her.
Oh, well, it's a mixed look.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That's good.
Perfect. Yeah, I can see that. Yeah.
Okay. Continue. We want to hear.
Okay, so as a daughter, I'll address. As a daughter, I think you know, she has been loving, respectful. And one thing about my Rachel is that she's tender and she has a tender heart. Aww. So even when she was growing up, when she was a little one, she thought she had done something naughty. We used to call that naughty, you know, doing something that she'd be very quick to come and say sorry. Okay. I'll also say that she's a fabulous sister. And, you know, sisters may squabble and we try not to interfere with that, Nick and me. But she always looks out for herself. Her sister, that's what we call Jeannie, her big sister.
So, Susie, let me interrupt you for a second. So, yeah. In the squabbling, I know you're being very, very flattering and complimentary, but I just want to ask, like, who's the initiator usually? Like, when they were little, and like someone would start the fights, who usually would start the fights?
It's a little chilly, beef.
I think it was an equal thing. It was an equal thing, and it depended upon their moods, basically. You know? Like, if they had too much of each other, they would purposely fight in order to get away from each other, sort of thing, you know?
Is that when you move from beef to chili beef?
I'd say it was equal.
So where do we get the chili beef? Where did she get spicy? When did that come in?
Okay, I'm getting to that part, okay? Oh. So do you want to get to the chili beef part?
Yeah,
right away,
yeah. Oh, yeah, let's get to it. Yeah.
Okay, so the chili beef part, you know, Rachel has always been up to good, clean fun, okay? And the chili beef part, I'll go straight to that, was she's called chili beef because she was a prankster. And she gets that from her dad, okay? Oh. So chili in India means hot, spicy, up to doing something, you know, naughty and, you know, getting people, playing pranks on people. And she still does that up till today, you know? And then the beef part comes from the fact that she really loves beef. When people look at a cow, they think milk. But
when she looks at a cow, she starts salivating.
Every bit of it, yeah. Her
love of beef.
Like that. So Rachel is that, while growing up and still now, I noticed this about Rachel. Rachel gets joy by bringing joy to others.
Oh, I see that.
That's true.
Yeah, yeah. So that's my Rachel. On the other, if I have to say, you know, looking on the other side, if there's something I have to find that's quirky about her.
Yeah, we really want that.
Okay, two things. She can be pretty determined. When she was growing up, even though she had number of outfits, she would be determined to wear the three. She had three outfits that she stuck to. She didn't care, you know, she didn't want to wear anything else, even if it was something new. She liked her three old outfits and she would wear them all the time, okay? Another thing is in terms of discipline, you know, she's extremely disciplined when it came to schoolwork. And Nick and I kind of still laugh about this. We never ever had to tell her to do her homework. What we had to tell Rachel was go to sleep. She'd be sitting up there till the wee old hours trying to, you know, doing her homework. And we said, well, you've already finished it, right? But that was the time I used to see Rachel get really frustrated and irritated with us because we say, it's time, go to sleep. While other parents are edging their kids on to do their work, she was really determined in doing her homework and getting it done. And it was never, you know, that sort of thing. So I kind of laugh at that.
That's beautiful. Susie, we have to tell you that we are very grateful that you gave us Rachel because we like having her here.
Oh yeah. Well, I think it's a mutual admiration society. She likes being there. We like being there, and you guys, you know, like her. And so it's great. I'm so glad. And so this brings me to my final point about Rachel. So that even though we have raised her as a Christian, she loved her Sunday school teachers, playing and singing for the Lord. She has made her faith her own, and her wisdom is beyond her age, which I believe can be credited to her very strong relationship with Jesus.
That's good.
Well, I can look at Rachel and tell that she absolutely loves hearing you talk all about her.
Oh boy.
No, but honestly, Susie, thank you so much for making time to be on the podcast with us, and we do love Rachel, most of us anyway, and we think that she loves us too. So thank you for joining us.
Yes,
and,
thank you.
Thank you. It was such an honor. I just love talking about my girls, and you know, it's such a joy. I really appreciate you asking me about this. In fact, I'm going to go back to her baby book that I created and go through all the things that, you know, Rachel has done. Oh, by the way, she's an excellent writer. I want to put that in. It has nothing to do with me, but she is fabulous at writing. And a last piece that I saw in fourth grade was called A Cart of Compassion. So that tells you a lot about Rachel.
So we need to read this. All right.
Yeah.
Thank you, Susie. Bye-bye.
Yeah. Thank you. Mom.
Aww. She loves you.
She does. I love her.
You guys ever hear that? You guys watch Ted Lasso? We talked about Ted Lasso.
Yeah,
we've talked about it. But
there's a great line in there where Lasso goes, he's like, "I love meeting people's moms. It's like an instruction manual as to why they're crazy."
Oh yeah,
and I like meeting your moms, not because you guys are crazy, but it's a little window into who you guys
Thanks,
are.
Ted,
it's fantastic.
I got a call during that whole conversation. I just
going back real quick. There's more.
Hello.
Hello. Is this Vic Sneed?
Yes.
This is Vic Sneed.
Oh my goodness. This is Brandon Passion from CPC, and I am in the room with Kevin, your son, who I think you know. And,
yeah.
And also Rachel, who maybe you've heard her voice at some point, and also Nico, who was our unnamed person on our podcast for the last 6 months. And we thought it would be fun to have you come on. We're learning about each other and what it was like when people were little and how it was. And so we thought maybe you would have some insight into little baby Kevin. And yeah, you can just tell us some stuff that maybe we'd be interested in. Could you do that? And you tell me if I'm wrong here. You actually have listened to our podcast at least a couple times, right?
Oh yeah. We've listened to it. My wife listens to it. Yeah.
Okay, no pressure here. Is there any episode or any part that sticks out to you that you remember that is like your favorite?
Well, actually, I've got a couple. Okay, I don't know if you want me to go into that first or last.
Go into that first.
I know I was talking this over with Kevin's mom just a bit ago, and she had one, I had one, and I know her favorite. I can't remember. I think this was when you guys were first role in your podcasts, but I can't remember exactly what it was about, but I know that my wife was really interested in what Rachel's nickname was going to be, and I think that was Chili Beef. I think it was that. I can't remember for sure.
That's accurate. That's Chili it. Beef.
Oh, okay. That's all right. Well, I know that was a highlight for my wife, and then for me, actually, probably on a little bit more serious note, was I think it was sometime last year, must be around episode 64 or 65. I think it was titled Sacrifice, and Kevin was talking about how I think he was talking about mainly, I guess, Mark's gospel, and that if you're going to write a story about it, you guys were talking about superheroes.
Yeah,
and I don't know about any of these superheroes, but Kevin's lead was that if you were going to write a story about a superhero, you wouldn't write one about someone who died, okay? And, I mean, that's just not the way you would script things. And I like that thought because that, I think, is a great thought for somebody who is an apologist or somebody defending the scripture to maybe somebody who's on the fence or a non-believer. You know, I mean, how would you write that? And of course we know the story goes further than just Jesus's death, but I just, for some reason, that one's always stuck out in my mind. That was, I think, from last summer. So those are two of them that stick in our minds.
I love it. And you know, Kevin's got we've noticed that there was a lot of singing over the last 100 episodes. Kevin's got a pretty good voice. Did you know that?
Oh, absolutely. You know, he, when he was a kid there, he finally, I think it was around seventh or eighth grade, he took up guitar, and he was actually, you ought to think about signing him up for the band there, because he was a worship leader for our youth group, and he even got in on the main service a few times. I got a picture of him with our worship team at our old church at Community Covenant, and by golly, he's there holding this guitar, ready to go.
Dad, it was all that Michael W. Smith that you made me listen to as a kid.
Well, and don't forget Stephen Curtis Chapman.
Oh, yeah, go west, young man. Let evil go east.
Vic, something that you and I share is a deep love for Michael W. Smith.
Oh, I'll tell you what, he is my fave.
Yes.
I mean, you know, Waymaker, I could go back. I love this. He just has this spirit of worship about him that that just makes you want to sing. In fact, I kind of got a little jealous when Chris Tomlin came on big, but now I like Chris Tomlin too. So, yeah.
Well, Kevin and I,
and Michael W. Smith are my two faves.
So what can you tell us about what it was like, little Kevin? Was he always really into theology?
Well, no, he wasn't born with a Bible in his hand, that's for sure. You know, he was the youngest of our three kids. He has a sister, an older sister, and an older brother. Our daughter Sarah was born first, and she was the perfect child, actually. She was no problem at all. And by the time we got down to Kevin, well, things were different. Okay? Things were just different with Kevin. And I remember as the youngest of the three, his daughter, I think, is about 6 years older. Sarah's born in 81, Kevin's born in 87, and then his older brother Vic is about 4 years older than Kevin. So when he was little and we were teaching the kids doing chores and this and that, we used to call Kevin the littlest dude. We called him the littlest dude, okay? And Kevin always used to use the excuse that he was too little. He's too little to wash the dishes. He's too little to make the bed. He's too little to fold his clothes.
That's not an excuse. That's just smart.
And so we called him the littlest dude for the longest time.
The littlest dude.
Yeah. And so, I don't know. Another thing, too, I remember we were kind of a baseball family. And because I loved playing ball when I grew up, and his older brother was a ball player. And Kevin, he grew up kind of wanting to be like, in some ways, like his brother and this and that. And he loved, he started playing baseball. We got all kinds of pictures of him in Little League and playing ball and whatnot. But really, what Kevin's strong suit was playing basketball. That's what Kevin really wanted to do. I think at first he was afraid to play basketball because he knew everybody in the family. He just knew how much I loved to play baseball and how much his brother played baseball. But
Mention he was the littlest dude. Yeah. So
he was the littlest dude. So what he wanted basketball. To do, he wanted to play basketball. And we didn't think that there was much chance that he was going to do too much of that. But I will say this for Kevin. He was so determined. And I'll never forget when he got ready to go into high school, he was going to go out for the team. And I encouraged him, and I just didn't think he was going to be able to make it, but I encouraged him just to try his best.
That's vote of confidence, Dad.
Waiting for the day when he'd come home and say, you know, that he got cut. But you know what? He was so determined, and even though he wasn't the most athletic, he worked so hard, and he made that freshman basketball team. I was so proud of him.
Wow.
And not only that, but I think, I don't know, he led the team in free throw percentage or something.
83%, thank you very much.
83%, he says.
Yeah. Still my claim to fame. I peaked in freshman year.
Anyway, he goes after his freshman year, then he tells me he wants to go out for the junior varsity. And I'm like, oh, buddy, I tell you, just, you know, it's so...
You're pushing your luck, Kevin.
Yeah, but hang in there, buddy. And next thing I know, he makes the JV team. And then, of course, then later on, he made the varsity. And he proved me wrong. He was a good basketball player. But,
did you ever apologize to him for not believing in him?
Now's the time.
What's that? No, never. No, never. I never do that. Okay, that's not going to happen. he was a pretty happy-go-lucky kid for the most part growing up. He was a lot of fun to have around, and he was his mom would say he was everything that the other two weren't, and so I'll let you guys kind of play with that one. But, I remember his senior year in high school, we were his mom and I got asked if we would come to an awards assembly because Kevin was going to get an award. Now, it wasn't for being smart or anything, but it was for like some leadership thing. And he didn't know we were showing up. And so we sat up there at the top of the bleachers, and they're asking all the seniors to come in. And I'm noticing as Kevin walks in, he is shaking hands and high-fiving and slapping the hands of just about every kid he could find in the class. It didn't matter if they were the star athletes, or if they were the Aggies, or if they were the Stoners. I knew then, he had such an ability to interact with people from any background, varied backgrounds. And I remember thinking to myself, even then, I thought that is really unique, and I see that in him now in his ministry. I just don't know how he ever got. I do know how he got smart, is because when he finally went off to William Jessup, he met the right gal that he married way up. Okay.
Yeah.
Because when it comes to Lindsay, we love Lindsay a lot, and I've got a feeling that, you know, that she had a big influence on Kevin on his just how academic he's become in his pursuit, and I don't want to get schmaltzy, but I'm proud of my son.
But we love Kevin. He's our fearless leader, and we're not just saying that because he's our boss. We really think he's great. So
I'll make him say that.
Thank you for coming in and hanging out with us, and for giving us Kevin.
Well, thanks for having me, guys. And I'm just so proud of how God is using you guys out there. And God bless you in the ministry, and just keep it going.
All right. We'll talk to you later.
Love you, Dad. Love you, Dad.
Love you, too.
Bye.
Oh, your dad is awesome. Yeah. I'll tell you what.
Yeah, he's pretty schmaltzy. Aww. He'll get schmaltzy if he lets himself.
Oh, man. I've never heard a nicer man be more insulting. Well, he's not athletic, and he's not smart.
He wasn't getting it for being smart.
I know that award, wasn't it?
Oh, that's
man,
the
he proved me wrong.
I almost spit take right there when he said that.
I heard it.
Yeah, it was like joking back you know, down.
Well, one. This has been a fun walk down memory lane.
I feel like we got chinsed on not calling.
Yeah, sorry.
You don't sound sorry. We want to watch you revert.
There's most likely chance. I mean, he wouldn't answer. We could try to call him.
Yeah, let's do it.
You want to try to call him, Kevin?
Let's have Kevin try to call him.
Hello.
Hey, is this Kevin Passion?
Yes.
This is Kevin Sneed calling from Brandon's phone.
Oh, hi.
So we caught you. Hopefully this is a good time. Brandon didn't give you any warning, but we are recording. You are live on our podcast right now. And Brandon, for this episode, reached out to all of our moms. So I got Nico with me, Rachel, myself, and your son, Brandon. And he did a little secret interview, and so we got to the end of that, and he thought he was wrapping the episode, and I thought, we got to call your dad and let him share a little bit about little Brandon. And so do you have a few moments to maybe talk a little bit about what it was like with Brandon as a kid?
Sure.
Okay.
Okay.
Sorry to put you on the spot here.
No, that's okay.
So we want to know, we've been exploring our childhoods a little bit. And we want to know maybe what was it like with Brandon as a little baby? And what were the things that come to mind when you think of little baby Brandon? Was he always who he is now, or what was he like as a baby?
Well, boy, let me think back. Well, the thing that I remember was, of course, him and his brother were preemies. They were born 7 weeks early.
Oh, wow.
And so he was smaller than Adam. And the first time I saw him, he had a great big tube coming out of his head, which scared me. He had a needle in his head and then a tube.
Oh.
Because his glucose level was so low. Hmm. And the only vein they could find big enough was the one coming out of his head. So it was kind of scary. I came into the neonatal ward, and there he was, but he looked really pathetic. And yeah, he did get cuter over time.
Yeah.
So
he did get cuter over time. Yeah. Was he always, one of the questions I've got too, as when did his musical abilities take off? Was he always as musical and talented as he is now?
No, actually, his brother, the performer, I used to always sing songs for him and make up songs about them. And we have a video of his brother standing in front of the television set performing Frank Sinatra song, New York, New York.
Oh, yeah.
He's about 2 years old, and he's just belting it out. And Brandon is sitting on his mom's eating potato chips and watching. You know, so
more of a consumer than a producer, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. And he would, you know, he would sing when we had our family time together singing, but he was really shy in front of people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that certainly has stuck, hasn't it? Yeah, he seems so shy now. He hates being up front.
Oh, yeah, yeah. In fact, we thought his brother Adam was going to be the performer.
That's so funny.
And Brandon was hiding in the background. He would get embarrassed if you put him on the spot, you know, and tried to get him to sing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So,
what is one thing? Because, you know, with Brandon obviously being up front so often now, we all feel like we know him pretty well. What's something that would surprise us to learn about Brandon's childhood and, like, his growing up? I'm watching him squirm in his chair right now, by the way, as I ask this question.
What would surprise you? Let me think. Well, one thing that comes to mind, I don't know if this would surprise you or not, but he was, when he finally got into music, he was writing all the time, and we never knew what he was doing in those late hours. You know, he'd like in his bedroom with the door closed and stuff, but we could kind of hear he had a keyboard that his grandmother bought him, but it was not unusual for him to wake us up like in the middle of the night to tell us he had written a song.
Oh, I love that. Yeah.
And tell us, you know, like, listen to this song. And he was a big fan of Michael W. Smith.
Yes.
He was going to be the next Michael W.
Yeah. You know? I love that. Oh.
In fact, I've got a picture of him when we were in Reading not too long ago where Michael W. Smith was doing some recording in a studio there. And they got a picture of Brandon sitting at the same piano where Michael was making a recording, and he's just sitting there.
Oh, I love that. Yeah.
Holy ground.
So, that's sacred ground, as he says. That's so good.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, that's so good.
Those are my memories. I don't know. I probably could tell you some embarrassing things, but probably not for this podcast. Yeah.
We'll record a director's cut, and we'll get those
there
stories.
Yeah, off record, I could tell you some stuff.
Yeah, yeah. I love that. That's so good. No, Kevin, I know we put you on the spot here, so I just thank you for answering, but we're big fans of your son, and we're so grateful for the man he is, the way he loves the Lord and leads and ministers with us here. And so we just wanted to say tell you guys thank you for your son and all that he brings to this community.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm a big fan too, and let me leave you with this idea. When he started getting into performance, I was a little concerned because I had seen him leading worship, and he obviously had a passion and a gift to do that. And I was kind of afraid that, not that him becoming a professional musician would be a bad thing, but I didn't want him to lose that worship aspect of music, because it's so easy for any of us who have a performance background to slip into that. you know, and make it all about us. And so I was so glad when he really began to develop that and became a full-time worship pastor. That was just a delight to me. And
yeah.
So,
yeah. Well, we're glad he made that transition as well. That's for sure.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you, Kevin, for answering and getting put on the spot here. And I look forward to hearing those director's cut stories sometime. We'll make sure that happens. Awesome.
Thanks, Kevin.
All right. Thank you. Talk to you later. Bye.
See ya. Bye.
That could have been way worse.
I'm kind of hoping it could be. And yeah. Be, so yep. We'll record. Like, be looking for that one.
I was like, oh, man.
It'll come with an explicit label across it. That was good.
Yeah, we got to know all of us a little bit better.
Oh.
Yeah, we had joked before we hit record that it'd be funny to put all of our moms on this and just let them record.
Little did you know.
And that's what you had planned. Look at that.
Yeah, maybe we should have called my mom.
Yeah, would that have been scarier?
But we called your dad, so we're fine.
Yeah, we're good with some dads.
I would actually have been a little bit more worried about what my dad would say, but I think he was being really respectful, so... But I just thought, you know, if people go into these next 100 episodes knowing us a little bit better, that might be
a little window.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Little window.
Window into the soul. Yeah.
Window into the soul.
Perhaps a bigger window than you ever wanted.
And, you know, when we started this, we really didn't really have much idea how long we would do it or.
They said we'd never last. I don't know who they are, but look at us now.
And even though when we requested a few episodes ago people to call in and give us their...
We had to call people.
Their thoughts on the show, thoughts. Yeah. No one called in, so that's okay, though.
You know. We called our family.
Yeah, to get feedback, we had to call our parents. Yeah.
Maybe our mom will have something to say.